Good morning. Please turn to your order of worship as we pray our call to worship responsibly. Praise be to God who has freed us from oppression. Let our hearts rejoice at God's redeeming love. Come, let us worship the Lord with our whole hearts. Please stand as you are able to sing, Lift Every Voice and Sing, number 272 in your hymnal, number 272. Holy One, across races, nationalities, religions, sexual orientations, gender, and all the ways we are distinctive from one another, we are your beloved children made in the Imago Dei. As your disciple Martin Luther King Jr. said, we are bound together in an inescapable network of mutuality, and tied to a single garment of destiny. You call us into your unending work of justice, peace, and love. Let us know your presence among us now. Let us delight in our diversity that offers glimpses of the mosaic of your beauty. Strengthen us with your steadfast love and transform our despairing fatigue into hope-filled action. Under the shadow of your wings in this hour, may we find rest and strength, renewal and hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the light of Christ, we see shadows of our world and our hearts. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Holy God, we have failed to remember that our unity lies in you. We say the creation of the beloved community can't be done. We throw our hands up in the air and wash ourselves clean of responsibility. We become fractured and divided over trivial matters. We create enemies and refuse to love one another. Forgive us for denying that we are all your beloved children. Forgive us for not loving others as you have loved us. Call us into the work of healing, justice, restoration, and reconciliation. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, God's steadfast love endures forever. God will never leave you or forsake you. Even when you have gone astray, God is searching for you, seeking you, and calling you by name. You are loved, forgiven, and called back to God's embrace. See what love God has for us, that we are called children of God, and so we are. In this spirit of life and affirmation, we turn to our neighbor and extend this ancient custom of the Christian community. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning, and welcome to the Memorial Church at Harvard University. My name is Adam Vandertag, seminarian here at the Memorial Church and student at Harvard Divinity School. I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad that you are here, especially on this morning when we commemorate the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. It's my distinct pleasure this morning to introduce our preacher, the Reverend Dr. Lawrence Edward Carter. Reverend Carter was a 10th grader, a sophomore in high school in 1958, when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. privately recruited him to come study at Morehouse College. And 21 years later, in 1979, Reverend Carter became the very first dean of Martin Luther King Jr. International Chapel at Morehouse College. He did his PhD at Boston University, and he was telling me before the service that he remembers listening to Martin Luther King Jr. speak in this sanctuary. So he's no stranger to this church At Morehouse, he is also professor of religion and curator to the college. Reverend Carter, your presence here today is truly a blessing, and it's not lost on us. Thank you. Another of our blessings this morning is the fact that the choir is here again. Despite the great organ support that we've had from above and the fact that most of us can carry a decent tune, worship is not the same without them. So we're glad that you're here. They leave on Tuesday to tour South Carolina and Georgia, but before they go tomorrow night in this sanctuary at 7:30 p.m., they will be doing a Bon Voyage concert. All are welcome, free of charge. Also tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock is the 6th annual Cambridge Day of Service that Many Helping Hands 365 has organized to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The kickoff takes place on the steps of City Hall and Central Square. Join in for an afternoon of hands-on service that benefit Cambridge residents, especially those in need. And finally, a quick reminder about when our spring term programs begin again. The first day of morning prayers is Monday, January 25th, and our very own David Foster will lead off our morning prayers for spring semester. Don't miss it. He said get there early. The seating might be a little bit crowded. Church school will begin again on Sunday, January 31st, and the Faith and Life Forum will commence Sunday, February 7th. Now is the time when the church collects its offering. It's a moment for us to remember that in our offering we give not our own gifts to God, but we return to God some portion of the gifts that God has given us. The ushers will start at the back of the church and make their way forward. Thank you. This morning, Psalm number 36 is found on page 473 in your pew Bible. We will read responsively by whole verse, verses 5 through 10. That's page 473, Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Please be seated. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Here ends the lesson.
Please be seated. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing these things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends the lesson.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, show us your love and mercy. In you, Lord, is our hope. Gracious God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, Sovereign, Almighty. You are the source of all life and love. On this MLK Sunday, we give you thanks for the life and legacy of your great servant and all those he inspired to use their gifts and talents in service of your people. We pause to also give thanks to you, O God, for the world you have given us, and ask your forgiveness for all the times that we have taken it for granted in our failure to be good stewards of it. We pray for peace, comfort, healing, and restoration for those affected by the vicious attacks in Jakarta, and for increased aid, support, and safe passage for those fleeing violence and devastation throughout the earth. We rejoice, though, with our brothers and sisters in Liberia who have witnessed your great healing power in the mitigation of the world's worst outbreak of Ebola. Lord, in your mercy. Creator, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving for how you have blessed this nation, which we call home, and are reminded that to whom much is given, much is required. As we have been given great resources, let us give generously. As we have been shown great compassion, let us show compassion to those who seek refuge on our shores. As we benefit from your justice and mercy, let all of us, particularly those in law enforcement and authority, demonstrate it in kind to all, regardless of background, ethnicity, or social status. Let us join together to hold our nation's leaders and those seeking elective office accountable, even as we pray for each of them to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray for relief for our brothers and sisters in places like Flint, Michigan, who suffer the ill effects of poverty in a nation so filled with riches. Lord, in your mercy. Holy, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent one, we praise you for the opportunity to hear your word today. We ask your blessings upon each individual and family represented here today, that needs would be met, prayers would be answered, hearts and minds renewed. We offer a special prayer for our distinguished guest speaker today. Anoint Dr. Carter with preaching power. May everything that is done and said in this place today bring glory to your name. Lord, in your mercy. Please join with me in the recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Please stand as you are able to sing the sermonic hymn, There is a Balm in Gilead, number 306 in your hymnal, number 306.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight and conducive for all of our growth. Amen. Good morning, and slightly warmer greetings from Atlanta and Morehouse, and from our president, Dr. John S. Wilson, who is three times a Harvard man. How honored and privileged I am to stand in this pulpit at the invitation of Professor Jonathan Walton, of whom we're very proud at Morehouse, and we believe he is a worthy successor to our beloved Peter John Gomes. Let me read for the text for the sermon for the morning the first two verses of chapter 6 from Galatians. Only I'm going to read to you a blended first two verses from three translations. And this is what it says. My friends, if anyone should do something wrong, is detected in a transgression, or overtaken in a fault, on a sudden impulse, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. On this Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday, I'm inspired by these words of Paul from the letter of Galatians to invite you to think with me from the topic, Where the Moral Arc Bends. Now, some of you will remember how Dr. King popularized Theodore Parker's famous quote, "The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice." And many of you will recall that President Barack Obama thought this quote so significant that he had it stitched around the border of the new carpet in the Oval Office. This was to be a constant influence on public policy. Today, I want to preach about where the moral arc bends and about the key to a life well lived, a personal ministry built on acts of gentleness and kindness, not only as reference points for future encounters with darkness, but also as power points for our efforts to truly create justice for all. For many of us, there is a seeming tension between kindness and justice. This tension is rooted in our misconception that justice always includes punishment. The idea that when someone does something wrong, they must pay for their sins. But at its highest and best, justice is about gentleness and kindness. Dr. King reminds us in this regard that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. The light of God's love is unmerited favor. It is God's grace. Wherever and whenever you bring the light of God's gentleness and kindness into the appearance of darkness, a shift happens. The moral arc bends toward justice and reconciliation, which is inclusivity. We must ask ourselves some important questions. Where are the exemplars with the resolve to heal intolerable wounds? Where are the counter forces to disrespect for people and our planet that can build the world we want? Where are the fresh starting points for creating new conditions for bending the moral arc? Where are the birthplaces of something new being set in motion? And where does the long moral arc bend toward intimate, social, and global justice? Where the moral arc bends is you, as exemplars standing at the choice point for actualizing consciousness-expanding and life-enhancing intentions. This is the intersection where, when, and how an enlightened society is created. Each of us will be measured by how we show up and shine God's light in the world. You and I are the miraculous emanations of God walking on the earth. If we don't choose to walk in our vision of the ideal world, it is not going to manifest. Where the moral arc bends, even ever so slightly, there always are exemplars of enduring goodness. Men and women with virtuous spirits who make their mark on history. We saw this demonstrated poignantly by the families of the victims of Charleston, South Carolina, after that massacre. Just 72 hours after Dylann Roof's attack of racist terrorism, they expressed love and forgiveness toward someone many people felt deserved only condemnation, not kindness. On two separate occasions, following the violent attack at Mother Emanuel AME Church, a faculty member and a student ran into my office at Morehouse and shouted at me, "Why did the family members of the 9 victims have to forgive Dylann Roof so quickly? They let the whites off the hook of their guilt even before we've had time to properly grieve." That's what was shouted at me. The reactions of the faculty member and the student brought immediately to my mind Martin Luther King Jr.'s strategy and way of life of deliberate nonviolence. I think that Dr. King would have responded by saying to the faculty member and the student, "Forgiveness does not mean ignoring what has been done or putting a false label on the evil act." It means, rather, that the evil act no longer remains a barrier to the relationship. The families of the Charleston Nine, through their grace, love, care, forgiveness, and mercy, gave us all the fearlessness to dare to hope, because they gave us something we could build on in this life. That is probably why, in part, Charleston did not look like Ferguson. The people of Charleston created a visible, virtuous moment in nation building, a moment that exemplified where, when, and how the moral arc bends toward peace and justice. The reactions of the faculty member and the student also brought to mind Archbishop Desmond Tutu's Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. That commission was designed for many people who needed kindness so they could find healing. It was not created to punish known criminals. We should be immensely grateful this morning to the black South African mothers, wives, and grandmothers who were victims of apartheid violence. They, with Nelson Mandela, were the first to introduce the language of forgiveness, gentleness, mercy, and kindness in their encounters with the perpetrators of gross human rights violations, people who had killed members of their families. If you can bear unbearable sorrows with kindness, then the moral arc will bend as you free a whole nation like South Africa from a racial bloodbath. The professors and the students' reactions brought to mind the people and institutions who introduced and unfortunately still perpetuate apartheid, American segregation, xenophobia, homophobia, Islamophobia, and bigotry. People who are obstinate and intolerant believers in religion and political theory over the inherent dignity and sacredness of all personhood. All of these people especially need gentleness, kindness, and extra consideration for us to co-create the ultimate beloved economic world community and experience the dignity of difference. Benjamin E. Mays, the sixth president of Morehouse College, preached and published a sermon titled, "Be Kind to Judas." Mays reminds us that we should respect the humanity of everyone, even of our betrayers and oppressors. That is why we should be kind to people in power, even when they are unethical. Kindness is timely help. It is the responsibility of all leaders to guarantee timely help to the infirm, the poor, the jobless, the lonely, the misunderstood, the disinherited, the different, the uninsured, the uneducated, the marginalized. All of us have some limitations, infirmities, and needs that we cannot escape unaided. The moral arc bends where and when the window of the heart opens, and uncommonly strong, uncommonly committed, uncommonly involved, uncommonly willing persons, the true exemplars of justice, subvert their own egos to achieve the common good. My philosophy of religion teacher at Boston University, the late Peter A. Bertacci, defines virtue, the virtue of kindness, as the willingness to help others who are needy in such a way that they may still experience values of which they are capable. Kindness is a virtue for the creation of value. We are here for what the Soka Gakkai International, my Nichiren Buddhist friends, call value creation. Expressions of kindness prevent devaluing, disrespecting, and demonizing. Now, if you have not been listening, I want you to increase your hearing power. Because Martin Luther King Jr., the man we honor today, showed us how all that I'm talking about is done. A white man walked up to Dr. King in public and asked, "Are you the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?" To which Dr. King answered, "Yes, I am." The white man then spat in Dr. King's face. Dr. King reached into his back pocket, took out a handkerchief, and wiped the saliva off of his face. Neatly folded the handkerchief and handed it to the man and said, "I think this belongs to you." Now, at this instance, the moral arc of the universe bent. Martin King's ego was out of the picture, and kindness and compassion reigned supreme. Dr. King's response did not insult the man who had spat in his face. He didn't put him down. He rendered unto the man what belonged to him. King understood that people don't have enemies. They have friends and neighbors with different definitions of experience. Refusing to give negative intentionality, refusing to see negative intentionality in other people's mistakes, is the door to being able to forgive. Forgiveness is the key to self-emancipation and spiritual liberation. The moral arc always bends with deliberate intent, not natural impulse. It is natural to hate and fight one's so-called enemies. But authentic spirituality, real religion, virtue ethics lived, is a call to transform existence. The human condition is an inescapable we. Together, we suffer. Together, we exist. And forever, we will recreate each other. King was proactive, not reactive, in the face of intimate violence. Objective and intelligent expression of concern, non-egotistical concern, intimately, socially, and globally, is true kindness. And it requires much more than a susceptibility to emotion and rage. Kindness, actualized as a core principle, sends a message to the Dylan Roofs of the world that you may have hurt the victims' families, but they are the true victors because they have not been destroyed. If you can suffer without becoming bitter, you have turned suffering into a virtue. Then, and only then, does unearned suffering become redemptive. Dr. King did not believe that suffering itself is redemptive. He believed that suffering can be made redemptive if oppressed people struggle against it with dignity and, as a byproduct, oppressors repent of their evil. There is no room for blame in your life as long as you live with kindness. When you let or allow your life to turn, evolve, respond, or bend from the norm of love, which makes all virtue possible, you move the moral arc of the universe to bend toward justice and nonviolence. When you bend, the moral arc bends, and God accomplishes all things through the high vibration of your willingness. The moral arc bends on the little virtuous hinges that swing the greatest gates toward the realization of fairness, equity, integrity, honesty, decency, reasonableness, rightfulness, respect, gentleness, kindness, justice, and peace. It is only as we live in conscious union with ultimate spirit and consciously let God work through us that we really live. When one practices kindness and courtesy, everything moves toward more humane values, harmony, and peace. But remember, we do not attract what we want. We attract what we are. So make kindness become what you are. You cannot give away what you don't possess, and you cannot have what you are not willing to be. Justice is an inside job. The peace that you want in yourself and the peace that you want in the world is born from compassionate emotions like gentleness and kindness. And so, on this King Sunday, I want to encourage you to embrace an expanding awareness of the consciousness that motivates you to lovingly sense where and when help is needed. The church is less a noun than a verb, which means that it is wherever justice and peace, harmony, and constant good and respect for all humanity are practiced. The moral arc will bend when we begin to see members of the NRA not as enemies, but as people who are afraid, people who, if we love them enough, may no longer need to or want to seek safety in the ownership of guns. So finally, search your personhood and find the core of your love nature. Experience the highest expression of loving attunement with your transcendent source, God. In this way, you will be guided, governed, gifted, and graced by the eternal presence of God within you, bending the moral arc toward the fulfillment of nonviolent justice. As love equally distributed in radical acts of kindness, expressed in, as, and through all of us, in its most divine, feminine, and sacred masculine exemplars of gentleness, then you fulfill the law of Christ as the innumerable, infinite rays of light that we are. Let everyone say, Amen.
Please stand as you are able to sing the closing hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, number 299 in your hymnal, number 299.
Thank you.
eternal love of God and the respectful kindness of Martin Luther King Jr. So shine in your lives that it inspires a presence in you of gentleness strong enough to transform the world. So be it, and so it is, both today and throughout all of your tomorrows. Let everyone say, amen.